This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Good afternoon. At this time, I would like to call the Joint Government Operations Audit Committee to order. I'm Representative Sue Peterson. I'm the vice chair of this committee, and I'm standing in for Senator Maher, who is the chair of this committee, and will be back at our next meeting to join us, but I will be standing in as chair for this meeting. I would like to welcome the internet listeners to our Government Operations and Audit Committee meeting today. And as a reminder for those in the room, if you would please silence your cell phones. And I would ask the secretary to please call roll.
Representative Bordeaux.
Here.
Representative Latterall. Representative Carr.
Here.
Representative Haugard.
Here.
Senator Wismer. Senator Wick.
Here.
Senator Rush.
Here.
Senator Cronin.
Here.
Representative Peterson.
Here.
Senator Maher. You have a quorum.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. I'd like to ask the committee for approval of the minutes from the March 26, 2018 joint GOAC meeting that occurred the end of the 2018 session. And those minutes are on board papers. If you've had a chance to take a look at those, I would entertain a motion.
So moved.
Thank you. Second?
Second.
Thank you. So it's been moved by Senator Cronin, seconded by Senator Wick to approve the minutes of the March 26th joint GOAC meeting that occurred at the end of the 2018 session. All those in favor, say aye. Opposed, same sign.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Finally, as a reminder for those that are testifying, please record your name on the sign-in sheet so the secretary has the correct spelling. And we have several items on the agenda today. This is really an organizational meeting. So the first thing we will do is we'll hear from our staff. Secondly, we will entertain a discussion of our 2019 interim meeting dates. We will look at just some items on committee process. We'll take a look at the statutory requirements and receive input from members on topics that we might like to discuss over the interim. And then finally, we will take any public testimony. So at this time, I would like to introduce our Auditor General, Marty Gindin.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Marty Gindin, Auditor General with the Department of Legislative Audit. I'll spend just a couple minutes introducing the staff that you'll be working with primarily with the committee. First of all, the reason we do this is the authorizing statute for the GOAC committee is STCL 262, and in there it says legislative audit will provide assistance, including clerical support, to the committee upon request. And so we've just taken that, and we're essentially staff to the committee during the interim. During the session, if the GOAC has any business, it's really the LRC staff that's been staffing that. But during the interim, and all the interim responsibilities that you're going to go over, we're staffed to the committee for those purposes. So some of the staff here, the secretary, serving as your secretary, is Laurel Sharp. Laurel's our business manager, finance officer, supervises the rest of our support staff. Then at the chair's right hand is Tim Flannery. He's one of our state government audit managers. Tim is the one you'll be hearing from most. He does most of the communication with the committee in terms of the agenda and getting out materials to you and things like that. Tim's been with us a number of years. Part of his responsibilities as one of the audit managers is the audit of the federal programs, part of the audit that we do of the state. So when we talk about the state's single audit report, Tim will be taking the lead on that as well. Another member that you'll be seeing a lot is Bob Christensen. Bob, if you have a hi sitting back there. Bob's another one of our state government audit managers, been with us many, many years. His responsibility, if you think about the audit of the state's financial statements and the federal programs, Bob's responsible for the financial statement part of that, the comprehensive annual financial report. That's part of Bob's responsibilities. For those of you that are appropriators and are familiar with the Blue Book, that's Bob's creation, and he keeps that up to date for you every year. So that document that shows you about all other funds. So when it gets into those kinds of things, Bob will be presenting. So the four of us are the ones you're going to see most as we're working through the interim. Depending upon the information gathering that comes about, you could see other members of our staff. But those are the ones you'll be working with for the most part. So, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. Any questions for the Auditor General? Thank you for all the work that you do. We really appreciate it. Look forward to seeing you a lot in the next few months. Thank you. Oops, sorry. The next item on the agenda is to take a look at our calendar and see if we can coordinate some dates that work for everybody. Tim has graciously put together a calendar for me that's sort of a master to look at our meetings in coordination with other committees that might be meeting, whether it's rules or executive board or those types of things. So we're looking at tentatively, now this, we would need to run all this by Senator Maher as well, but tentatively, potentially a date of the 24th of April. Does that present any conflicts for anybody? It is a Wednesday.
I'm going to be out of state.
Okay, okay. Okay. Anybody else that doesn't work for? On the 24th doesn't work for Senator Rush?
Okay. Where do we
typically meet? Typically it's here.
It's in this room. Sometimes it's on fourth floor, but it's typically in the Capitol building.
Are we typically trying to meet Wednesdays?
The reason we were looking at that date is the executive board meets on the 23rd, and we know that there's at least one of our members that is on the executive board. And so thought maybe, you know, maybe he likes to come to Pier a lot, but, you know, if we could save him a trip and not have to come 2 weeks in a row or something, we thought maybe we'd do that. So the other thing we looked at coordinating is also Interim Rules is also meeting on Mondays in most months. So, but as we looked at it, it doesn't look like our committee has any overlap with members on Interim Rules. So I just know that we kind of try to coordinate those things. Yes, Senator Cronin.
Can we work with the e-board and have them meet in the morning or the afternoon? That way it's just one whole day?
You know, that's fine with me. I don't know that they've set their calendar yet, and I don't know if our agenda will typically be a full day or if their agenda may go full days sometimes, but that's certainly something we can look at and find out if that might work so people don't have to spend 2 or 3 days.
Right, and then just a follow-up. I mean, I know the last 2 years we've gone from, I believe we used to start at either 9:30 or 10 in the morning, and we'd go till 3 or 4 in the afternoon.
Okay.
So that might need to be, depending on what we're going to talk about, I think we need to decide what we want to talk about, because I remember last year we ended up having an extra meeting just to get through the stuff that we wanted to get through. Not necessarily everything. We got through everything we were required to do, but it ended up being more. So either the day before or the day after,
sure.
You know, however it works, we can go one way or the other. But usually this committee over the last 2 years has been, and I'm okay taking 3 hours to do everything, but the last 2 years was significantly more. And it took sometimes till, I believe our last meeting went till 7 o'clock at night. So,
sure.
Just throwing that out before we go and schedule everything, maybe we should talk about what we want to do.
Sure. Or, you know, and this calendar can be flexible as well.
Right. Okay.
You know, so I think that's fine. We were just kind of trying to get on people's radar for certain days because I know people get scheduled up in the summer. But so let's just take a quick look at some of the rest of the months. We were looking in May, potentially the 23rd and 24th, because there is a conference that that Legislative Odd is putting on the 20th through the 22nd, so they would not be available earlier in the week there. So we're just potentially looking at there, potentially 23rd, 24th. And we're trying to do about 4 weeks between meetings just to give the departments enough time. If we give them, you know, notice one meeting after one meeting, then not to expect them to come back in 2 weeks, you know, be prepared. So we were looking at potentially June 25th and 26th, potentially July 30th and 31st. Okay, June 25th, 26th, potentially. July 30th, 31st. and August, either the 20th, 21st, or 27th, 28th. We were looking at coordinate. If we coordinate with eBoard, they're on the 26th, so that's a thought there. Or, and I think earlier in the month is NCSL, so we tried to stay away from early in that month because a lot of folks go to NCSL. September, potentially the 24th, 25th. October, the 29th and 30th, and then that's when we finish up the report then that is presented to the eBoard on November 18th. So October would be likely our last meeting, unless we had to finish up, you know, some other types of things in November, but, you know, want to be ready for that executive board report on the 18th. So, you know, those, if you take a look at your calendars and find that you have conflicts with that, if you could funnel those through Tim. And, again, this is preliminary, needs to also go through Senator Maher, but wanted to kind of get some of that at least out there for folks to kind of look at calendars. Questions, thoughts? I appreciate your comments, Senator Cronin.
August, could you say August again? 21st,
sure.
And the other one?
Let me look here. Thank you. Okay. Okay. We can send that out, too. It'll be, you know, in the minutes.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Thank you. I'm sorry for the lack of protocol on my part earlier.
No, that's fine.
When I had a few questions. And my two cents, just one guy, would be towards the end of the week, like Thursday, Friday, versus the middle of the week.
Okay. So you want Representative Hauger to have to stay over the whole weekend?
He likes being here. I think he would enjoy it.
Well, you know, he could go fishing on during session, right?
My other thought is that we haven't set our joint appropriations calendar, and we have a lot of appropriators here as well, four of us. So something else to take into consideration.
Sure. Thank you. Yes, thank you. Okay, so that is a work in progress, but we'll coordinate with and hopefully get all the moving pieces together and get a calendar. Any other discussion on possible interim meeting dates? Okay. Item number three is just a brief discussion of committee process, and I think for those of you who have attended GOAC meetings, and especially those who have been on the GOAC committee before, the typical process is that at the end of the current GOAC meeting, we talk about what will be on the agenda for the next meeting. I think there will be some things that will be a little more set because we are required by law to do performance measure evaluation and those kind of things. And those might be things we can set ahead of time. But there might be things that just come up in the last 4 weeks since we met that someone wants to bring up, and we can talk about that then at the end of the meeting. And those, if you have thoughts about that, feel free to direct those to the chair, and then he can work with staff to get those on the agenda. Any questions about that or other committee process?
Madam Chair.
Tim, yes.
A number of years ago, the committee decided to go paperless. So essentially, whatever topic the committee is going to be covering at a meeting, it'll be posted in two places, on the agenda on LRC's website as well as your board papers. So if the committee is asking an agency to provide a report, once as staff I receive that report, I'll attach it as a link to the agenda and also be on your board papers. So we try to get everything ready for you at least 5 days ahead of the meeting so you have time to do your homework and be prepared for the meeting. So that's kind of how that works. It's all electronic.
Tim, do all of them have board papers? No, it seemed like there were only some committees that had it at one point, but they all have it.
You know, I know last year the GOAC committee all had board papers. I'll double check that you all have them for this interim period. I guess I don't know for sure, Marty, if they have them yet.
Anything else related to committee process? Representative Bordeaux.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
I'm having trouble with finding, I would just be happy with a hard copy here because I'm looking everywhere and I can't seem to get this to come up. So I'm not sure what page you're on, but I'm looking at every potential from all angles, but I'm missing the mark.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
I apologize. This isn't, I will email this to you after the meeting. Sorry, this is not out there. But I'll make sure you have, this is the to-do list of the stuff GOAC by law should take a look at during the interim period. But as soon as the meeting's over and I get back to the office, I'll make sure everybody has this.
Can we get a hard copy now just so I don't keep craning my neck
here? Yes.
I thought somewhere it was in here.
I'm sorry.
Anybody else that would like a hard copy? Yes, Senator Rush, sorry. Yes.
Now you can hear me. I haven't been in GOAC before, so I don't know what we do, but, you know, do we get the audit reports? I mean, you do a variety of audits of a lot of different state and public agencies. Do we do those? Is that some of what we're going to see on the board papers?
You know, that's a perfect question because it leads into our next agenda item. So thank you for that. If you look, if there's no other questions on the committee process, item number four is discussion of our statutory requirements and then also input from members on topics you would like to see covered. So I would like to ask Mr. Flannery to go through that, please. So we'll just be at ease for a couple minutes. We're trying to get copies of that printed, and then we'll go through that.
Madam
Chair. Yes, Representative Bordeaux.
I sat on a legislative planning committee, which I thought really was a good committee, and they had a lot of good stuff that we started to dig into about 3 years ago. And unfortunately, when the principals of the committee lost the election or decided not to run, whatever happened, where they didn't come back, we scrapped all of that. And I really think there were some good performance measures and some of these indicators that we started to talk about as dashboards, you know, saying let's do six or eight things that we look at in the state that kind of give us a fingerprint on where things are at or barometric idea of whether things are about to explode or implode. But I wish we could kind of put those things into context here. I wish we'd bring them back. But would somebody maybe speak to how those are part of what we do or not part of it? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for that question. And that's right on topic as well. I actually was looking at that bill from a couple years ago that did do away with the Legislative Planning Committee, and it basically struck out everything except those performance measures, and it transferred that function to GOAC. And so for the last couple years now, has it been 2 years, GOAC has taken on that function. So what you will see, you'll get a paper copy here soon, but it's on the screen. The item number three is performance, if I could read it this far, performance management reviews. And you'll see there are, I think, seven departments there. So they reported the first year, and then we have subsequent years, and then we're now back to year one. So we will be hearing from those departments this year.
Follow up?
Yes.
So did the, you know, we spent a lot of time trying to figure out which, from 30,000, we'd always talk about from 30,000 feet, we want to see this. And I'm just curious, because so much time that we spent on it, some of those indicators, did they make it into this, or are we reinventing the wheel?
I'll let Mr. Flannery answer it, but I my sense is that those are ongoing performance measures that we continue to evaluate and you know, make edits to them as necessary. But I don't think we're reinventing the wheel. It was a continuous process, and correct me if I'm wrong.
Nope, that's correct, Representative Peterson. What the prior GOAC committee encouraged agencies to do was be concise with your measures, essentially two pages. They didn't want 25 pages of very detailed. They want two pages that they could sink their teeth into. And And that's essentially what's happened. Now, when you were on the Legislative Planning Committee, that was the first of the three-year cycle. Those are the agencies you actually probably studied 3 years ago. They're coming back. It's the second three-year term. We're just starting now. And they'll bring to you, and since these agencies presented 3 years ago, every year they've provided the LRC an update to those. So each year, they annually provide an update, but every 3 years they come in front of GOAC to talk about it with you guys to see what you like or don't like, want to tweak type thing.
Yep, thank you. Yeah, Senator Cronin.
Just a couple things on that. I'm not going to disagree with Mr. Flannery. He wasn't in charge of the agenda necessarily or the habits of this committee, but a lot of these agencies that we took on from the Legislative Planning Committee got overshadowed by Gear Up, EB5, and any other scandal a number of members of this committee would bring up. So we haven't done they all came, and it was at the, most of the time, it was at the end of every meeting, and they didn't get their fair share. So hopefully this committee will focus on what we have in front of us instead of bringing up whatever. Right. Postcards or whatever. I mean, we the last 2 years, this committee wasn't allowed to do its mission because of some of the members, and I don't regret saying it. This committee has a purpose, and these are the purposes of this committee. So I hope that we can stick and look at these agencies, because that's our job. And I just want to make sure that that's on the record, because the last 2 years, these things would come at the last minute, at the end of the year, and didn't get their due diligence. So I think your comments are somewhat credible. I don't think we did what we could have done for those agencies under that planning committee, which we ended up taking over, which we did. The chair is absolutely correct. We took over the analysis of it, and I think it might have been some good what we did go through, because people were bringing us the same things they'd bring to appropriations, which you were on appropriations. We don't want to know everything you're doing. We want to know performance. Show us a few things that you're doing with our money, and hopefully that gets portrayed out. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Cronin. With that, I would like, if are we about ready to distribute a paper copy of that? Or okay, so a paper copy will be coming, but in the meantime, we have copies on the screen. Hopefully you can see those in one place or another. And this is the work to be scheduled, and a number of these things are statutorily required. One of those, number three, is the performance management review. And as you'll see, there are nine other statutory requirements as well. So I will just turn it over to Tim to go through those.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I've tried to organize this document chronologically, historically, the months where the committees dealt with these particular statutory requirements. And so that's kind of what you see here. It seems like when we just get started with the interim period, sometimes we don't have a full day. A lot of our reports, we have to wait till the state's fiscal year end, June 30, and after that they prepare the reports that come to the committee. So typically in April, this committee receives the audit of the state's single audit. And actually tomorrow we're hoping to complete the audit work and file that. Well, it's ready to go to the federal clearinghouse tomorrow, and it'll be officially issued. And I'm actually hoping tomorrow to send you a governance letter. You are the committee that essentially is governance over legislative for that audit. And so we communicate with you in a letter how that audit went. And also I'll provide a hyperlink to the single audit report itself. And you can see the federal compliance audit findings, the financial statement audit findings, as well as the comprehensive annual financial report. So you can, it's a 300-page document. It's a large document. And typically, from there, at the April meeting, we will present that to you. We'll go through it with you, Bob and I and Marty, and try to answer your questions. And in the past, if there were audit findings in that report, the committee would may be interested in more information from an agency. What's your corrective action plan? Please explain what you plan to do. So that would occur in the April, May months. Also, the brand board, that's a calendar year report, so we can deal with that now. And then performance measures, we try to get into that early on in the year. After this meeting, I'll contact these seven state agencies and ask them to be prepared. They're up this interim periods, so please prepare your measures, update them, and come before the committee and present. And then there below is a list of other statutorily required reports that come to the committee. And the committee asks the agencies to come in and present those reports, whether it's the High School Activities Association, the Board of Regents comes in and talks about the university centers, their financial activity. The Bureau of Human Resources comes in and presents. A few years ago, the state passed conflict of interest laws. Waivers are granted by various agencies for employees to enter into contracts that might be, and they have to approve a waiver. Those waivers are collected by the Commissioner of the Bureau of Human Resources, compiled throughout the year, and they are brought in front of the committee to look at. Also, when it comes to state boards and commissions, if there's ever any approved conflicts, in those boards, they're provided to the Auditor General. He comes once a year and presents those to you as well. Also, one of the things that kind of came up from the Gear Up thing was the State Board of Internal Control was developed. They meet and come up with a work plan. They've developed some pretty effective tools for agencies to use to improve internal controls. They will The committee asked them, the chair of that board, to come in and talk to you guys about their work plan. Also, you hear an annual report from the South Dakota Board of Technical Education, the director of that. And usually the committee invites in the presidents of those four technical institutes, and they provide you with information on how the schools are doing. Enrollments, activities, programs. Also, the Building South Dakota programs, the agencies that administer some of those dollars come and tell you of their activities. You hear from the State 911 Coordination Board annually. And then towards the end of your interim period, after the state's fiscal year is over, Bob prepares the GOAC Blue Book of other funds. That's, you have your general funds, your federal funds, and other funds, and Bob puts together all of those other funds. And the committee has asked us to rank those. And so Bob prepares a ranking, and sometimes the committee's interested in hearing from those agencies, how are you using these funds, what's going on, you've built up a significant cash balance, why, typical kind of committee questions. And then the committee last year, chaired by Representative Hunhoff, wanted to kind of ongoing monitor this new five-year education grant, Project Aware grant. So I put that on the list because that was one thing the committee, the last interim GOAC committee, wanted to pay attention to. Rather than wait till the end and all the funds are spent, they wanted to kind of stay apprised of what was going on as this new program was occurring. So that would be up to the committee if they want to continue to look at that. Those are some of the standard, the routine activities of the committee.
Thank you, Tim. Next meeting, we'll have a couple people, and my intent is to invite Representative Hunhoff as well. and again, that will be run through Senator Maher, but Senator Mike Valley was instrumental in putting together the plan for performance measures and has asked that if he might come and just give us an update and sort of his historical philosophy on wanting to do that. And I thought that would be really good background for a number of us, especially me, on his rationale for that. And then, as Tim mentioned, the committee under Senator Representative Hunhoff's leadership wanted to monitor the Project Aware grant. So I think it'd be beneficial to hear from her on, you know, what types of things they were wanting to see so that we can follow through on what their intent was. I know that Senator Maher had communicated with Tim and I on a number of things that he would like us to take up, and we're also interested from other committee members on topics you might like to see in addition to this. Senator Cronin.
Just before, if I may, Madam Chair, before we move into that,
sure.
Tim, could you go back to the other funds again? And I've been on this committee for a number of years, and talk a little more about what you do when you're looking at funds as far as balances, and then maybe step into what we dealt with the last couple of years about how you not a rank, but you red flag certain things, if you would, or whoever. I mean, I think that's important, that these legislative audit red flags things. It's not just a number of dollars. I believe what you talked about on 14, number 14, was it depends on whether there are so many dollars moved in or out of that fund. But if you could talk to us about how you go through your audit and red flag some of these things as being a little abnormal, even if it doesn't meet that threshold.
Okay. Madam Chair.
Yes,
Bob,
go ahead,
Christensen,
please.
With Legislative Audit. What we do, first of all, the other funds book, and that's prepared from the state accounting system, and essentially the state accounting system is what we call cash basis. So it's like your checkbook. It shows your cash balance. It shows your revenue that came in and your expenses that came out. It's not trying to present fund position, not trying to present receivables, payables. Just here's what you received, here's what you spent. So based on that accounting system, at the end of the year and that, I prepare the other funds book for the other funds of the state, your special revenue, your transportation funds, some of your highway funds, funds from the Environmental Natural Resources. I prepare those pages. As part of that, then, at the end of the year and that, what the committee has asked us to do in that is to do some type of a ranking. And the main rank, and I think it was presented last year in the October 25th or the September 25th meeting, one of those two meetings, I identified for a certain number of grants, usually around 30 number of funds, that had equity change within around $500,000. And I looked at those funds to see if I could identify why did those change. I mean, was there something specific that happened, fee increases? Maybe they had some large expenditures net for a decrease in equity in that. Is their balance seemed exceptionally high in that? So based on those explanations that I was able to discern, the committee would ask agencies to possibly come in and to explain those funds, go over those funds, and, you know, just what's their purpose of the fund? You know, what are they spending on? What's their plan for major disbursements? Some cases might be that they have a large computer system that they're putting in, so they're spending a lot of funds. UJS was one of them that did that recently, and that where they were doing a new court system and that. So you saw a lot of money going out in a couple years, and that was unusual for that fund. So that's one of the rankings that we did. One of the committee members also asked that we do an analysis of the cash balance as opposed to the expenditures in that fund to see, do they have three times the cash on hand for what they spend in a year. So last year we also did an analysis of that. That's the first year we went in, that'd be at the committee's discretion whether we'd continue that, but we did that analysis also. So if there's any questions. One other thing, the other funds book is out there in the documents for the GOAC and that. It's on either the September 25th, probably the October 25th meeting. So it'd be the GOAC other funds book.
Thank you very much. Any other questions, Senator?
Just a follow-up comment, if I may, Madam Chair. Maybe for our next meeting or whenever it fits in, have us talk about when you go through the auditing process. Once again, as we've just been through the controversies of what Gear Up and EB5 had, and the scope of what you guys found when you did and how you did, just so we understand that it's not all, you know, a person can cook their books. And I just want to know how we can work towards finding that, or what you guys went through to find that. Because I remember years ago, I was on this committee, and it was brought to us, I believe Representative Dryden was the chair, that we knew there was something going on. So, and you guys had already worked towards that through your own process. But that takes a little more time than I think what we can do today. And just reaffirm us and walk through that process with us. I think that would be beneficial, Madam Chair, for our next meeting, just to see what they do, and if there's things that we may want to change or they want to change, they should have that opportunity.
I think we can do that.
Perfect. Thank you. Yes. So for those of you who maybe didn't hear, since it wasn't in the mic, when the Department of Legislative Audit presents a single audit next time at our April meeting, they will go through the things that Senator Cronin asked. So thank you. Other ideas from members on topics that you'd like to have added? And you don't have to give everything right now if you think of something in between, but yes, Senator Rush.
I just had a question about, Madam Chair, I had a question about the earlier mention about the report from the Bureau of Human Resources on conflicts of interest. Is that just state agencies, or do they compile all the conflicts of interest from all the school boards and city commissions? And
Mr. Gindin is making his way to the mic.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Marty Gindin again. That's changed a little bit over the last couple of years. When we first put that in place, the conflicts of interest from all the school boards had to come in and be compiled and reported to you as well. The latest revision to those conflict statutes eliminated that part of it. So what you have left now is the Bureau of Human Resources collects things that are related to state employees for the most part, and conflicts that are there, and reports those to you. From our standpoint, there are a certain enumerated number of state boards and commissions and so forth that are required to identify and document any waivers they may have granted under. We have definitions of the statute of what constitutes direct benefit or interest in a contract, and when waivers can be granted for either or both of those kinds of things, and that has to be documented, put in their minutes, and then those come into our office and then compile them, and I'm required to bring to you an annual report then summarizing what we've received from that list of boards that are required to go through that. And that's part of the routine here. You'll get a report from me later in the year on that. So it's state employees, essentially, and those boards. The school boards are still required to do that and make that available at their level, but it no longer gets, you know, compiled and reported to the Government Operations and Audit Committee.
Thank you. Other questions? Other input topics you'd like to see covered? Senator Cronin.
I'll just throw it out there if I could, Madam Chair. The way I read it is April we can do the first two, plus any other topics we come up with. In June, we'll have a meeting. I'm just going by historical. I'm just throwing it out there. GOED, DENR, agriculture, and DOT at one meeting. We should be able to get through those of our required ones, performance management. And then at our July meeting, do Department of Ed, Department of Tourism, and GF&P. Just to give us a start for those 2 months, as Tim has it laid out, it looks, I mean, I understand we got to get through all these other topics, but let's start with those because that's kind of when we would normally do it. And if Tim's ready to do that, then I think that's a good start to those two meetings, at least get them out of the way, because those are our requirements early. I know South Dakota High School Activities, that's kind of why I only put three in July. Juvenile corrections, university centers, and then I just thought we might as well start figuring it out. So,
Madam Chair.
Yes.
I have a question. And also, being a new guy, I don't know what to expect. And so the question I have, this number three, are the departments, are they here? Are they present? Is this just an internal thing? Kind of walk me through what happens with one of these.
I'll call on Tim to do that.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Usually, you know, after today's meeting, I'll actually reach out to these seven agencies. I'll call them and ask them to be prepared. And so whenever they're up, June, July, half in June, half in July, they'll send to me their two-page, three pages of performance, their goals, and how they're meeting their goals. And I'll link that to the agenda, say, a week out, so you have a time to read through those two pages for those agencies coming to that meeting and gather your thoughts and questions. But typically, the cabinet secretary and their head officials come in front of the committee and explain those significant measures to the committee and receive input, feedback from the committee. Maybe the committee doesn't like this one or how it's presented doesn't make sense. It's just a number. And they get valuable feedback from you. And they, in the past, there's always been one or two. The committee's invited, made some suggestions and said, hey, can you come in front of us again this interim and see how you've changed it? And they'll come back the same summer and show you their revised performance measures. And in the end, they come up with two pages of performance measures that everybody kind of likes. But it's kind of an active process. Certainly things can change. Priorities can change. It's not written in stone. I don't think that was ever the intent to do that. So that's kind of how it works. And I'm sorry.
Do you have a follow-up?
Follow-up comment.
Sure.
So if you're talking about breaking it out and scheduling them, I'm just thinking back to when we scheduled these for Joanna Probst. Doesn't Game Fish and Parks and Ag share a finance officer? Is that the one? So just a comment to keep maybe them together.
Sure, good point. Thank you. Another thing that, you know, Tim mentioned, he's going to send out a request and a reminder to these departments that they're up this year. And if we have one or two that happen to be ready by our April meeting, we'll slot them in the April meeting and, you know, get going. And then I think then we're not so backed up at the end. Senator Cronin.
And one more thing, you know, if there's something else that comes up, and I don't know that we've ever done this, Tim, maybe you can remind me. I believe we did last year, but just a couple instances. If you got something else within that department you want to talk about that deals with how they're running their business, not necessarily a policy issue that the legislature dealt with, but how they're running what they have authority to run, we've given them the opportunity by forwarding our questions through Tim to them prior to the meeting. And of course, whenever the secretary's up, you can ask a question, but we can't expect them to have the answer to a question that we haven't asked them to come before us with. But I do think that's something. And I'm okay. I just kind of went through and kind of picked out the timeline for each. And I don't care. I just say split them up. I don't think we want to have education, tourism, and economic development on the same day. It was kind of where I was going, because I think those are departments that I believe a number of the committee has questions on, so I was trying to split them up. But other than that, you can ask any question you want when they're in front of us. You just expect a response later, unless you pre-file the questions through the chairs or through Tim.
Thank you, Senator Cronin. Other comments, input, anything you'd like to see from departments or certain departments you'd like to ask or invite to come before us? Representative Carr.
I'm going to ask another question.
Yes.
Maybe you hit on this when you were going through the introduction. How did we choose these departments and agencies? Did you touch on that already? I'm sorry. I must have been. Okay. Because there's other departments and agencies that aren't on the list here.
Yep.
Thanks.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
It started with the Legislative Planning Committee and 3 years ago, and they picked these seven. So the goal is to get all executive branch agencies covered in a three-year period. So these were the first seven out of the chute with the Legislative Planning Committee 3 years ago. And then the remainder was just decided by the committee chair and vice chair. Let's pick these eight. And then last year, seven more. And we got through them all in a three-year period. I guess there was no real scientific way, but with the goal of getting all executive branch agencies covered in a three-year period, essentially seven per year, time-wise is about all the committee could handle. Would you say that's right, Senator?
Senator Cronin.
Well, yes, I believe that's the way it's been the last 3 years. But before that, we had a standard review. Every 3 years, a department got brought in front of GOAC. When I was first on GOAC, then I was off, then I came back on. I don't remember what it was actually called. Do you? I mean, we had kind of a setup, and then that went away when the legislative planning came in.
Yes, I do remember. That was basically every agency had to come in and justify their existence. Sunset review. And then that was eliminated. I believe that statute was repealed, and then this was created.
And just a reminder, those seven departments are under item number three for their performance measures. But if there are additional things that we would like to talk to them about, you know, we can ask them to come again. Or as Senator Cronin mentioned, you know, we could ask them certain things ahead of their performance review. But certainly there might be other things from other departments that we would like to invite to come. So those seven are not limited to other topics. It's just the seven that we're doing the performance measures on this year. So if there's no other questions or input, I would ask for any public testimony. Any public testimony on any of the items on our agenda? One more time, any public testimony? Okay. With that, if there's nothing else, am I missing anything? Okay. I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Moved by Senator Quick. Seconded by...
Second.
Okay. By President Bordeaux. You saw it. Okay. All right. With that, I'll ask for a vote on that. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
Aye.
We're adjourned.